The Infallibility of the Torah and the Gospel.
Thousands of years ago, God commanded the Jews through Moses, "Do not add to what I command you, and do not subtract from it, but keep the commands of the Lord your God that I give you." We read this in Deuteronomy chapter 4, verse 2. This commandment is repeated in the same book. "See that you do all I command you. Do not add to it or take away from it." Deuteronomy 12, verse 32.
Several centuries later, Solomon testified, "Every word of God is flawless. He is a shield to those who take refuge in him. Do not add to his words, or he will rebuke you and prove you a liar." This is in the book of Proverbs, chapter 30, verses 5 and 6.
At the end of the Bible, we find this severe warning. "I warn everyone who hears the words of the prophecy of this book. If anyone adds anything to them, God will add to him the plagues described in this book. And if anyone takes words away from this book of prophecy, God will take away from him his share in the tree of life and in the holy city, which are described in this book." The book of Revelation, chapter 22, verses 18 and 19.
After such stern warnings, would any believer in God, his books, and his apostles dare to distort God's word, and thereby lose his part in all spiritual blessings which God has prepared for his devoted ones, and the promises of salvation and eternal life which God promised to mankind? As for unbelievers, it is not in their power to distort the divine books, since they would not be able to obtain the thousands of manuscripts scattered all over the world in order to falsify them.
It is unfortunate that in the last days people should stand up and accuse the innocent apostles of Christ of distorting the gospel which was entrusted to them, thus contradicting not only the Holy Scriptures, but also the Muslim's Quran, which testifies to the apostles, known for their integrity and honesty, and calls them helpers of God. Surat al-Imran, the family of Imran, 52.
There are many proofs of the authenticity of the Bible and its freedom from distortion, corruption, and perversion. These are explained in the following passages.
The origin and development of the Bible.
God has carefully watched over the unfolding of his book with all wisdom and sagacity. Those who examine the Old Testament can see that the divine scriptures themselves reveal that it took shape in three periods of history.
The first period, from Adam to Moses. The sacred scriptures, inspired by God, inform us that God gave a command to Adam, and that he brought animals and birds to him to see what he would call them. We read this in Genesis chapter 2, verses 15 through 19. But this passage does not say how God spoke to man in the beginning. Therefore, most of us resort to conjecture and imagination when passing judgment on sacred history, forgetting that millions of years separate us from the events recorded in the first passages of the books of Genesis.
We are not sure when God began his revelations to mankind, but the contents of the Bible help us to come to a conclusion. Enoch, mentioned in the fifth chapter of Genesis, was, according to Jude the apostle, a prophet in the seventh generation after Adam. The Bible says that Enoch walked with God. There is no doubt that this prophet had some information about the past, and according to the genealogy of the Bible, he knew Adam and spoke with him. Methuselah, Enoch's son, survived till the time of Noah, and was righteous in his generation and walked with God.
Unquestionably, Noah, who preached righteousness and truth, passed on the sacred news to the generations after the flood. 2 Peter chapter 2, verse 5.
Shem, Noah's son, lived till the time of Abraham, as seen in Genesis chapter 10, verse 21, and Genesis chapter 11, verses 10 and 26. The Bible tells us that accounts of the sacred news were communicated to Abraham. In the book of Galatians, chapter 3, verse 8, we read the following. The scripture foresaw that God would justify the Gentiles by faith and announce the gospel in advance to Abraham. All nations will be blessed through you. This verse assures us that Abraham was in a possession of clear information about previous events, and that he, in his turn, passed on what he knew to his sons. In the book of Genesis, chapter 18, verse 19, we read, I have chosen him so that he will direct his children and his household after him to keep the way of the Lord by doing what is right and just, so that the Lord will bring about for Abraham what he has promised him. It is evident from this text that continuity of communication between Abraham and Moses was not hard to achieve.
The second period, the generations of Moses. Beginning with the book of Exodus, a chronicle of events was recorded in detail in the holy books in agreement with God's command to Moses to do so. Therefore we read, The Lord said to Moses, Write this on a scroll as something to be remembered, and make sure that Joshua hears it. The book of Exodus, chapter 17, verse 14.
In fact, we know that he, Moses, took the book of the covenant and read it to the people. This is in Exodus, chapter 24, verse 7. And that, at the Lord's command, Moses recorded the stages in their journey. This is in the book of Numbers, chapter 33, verse 1. We also read that after Moses finished writing in a book the words of this law from the beginning to end, he gave this command to the Levites, who carried the Ark of the Covenant of the Lord. Take this book of the law and place it beside the Ark of the Covenant of the Lord your God. There it will remain as a witness against you. This is in Deuteronomy chapter 31, verses 24 through 26.
The third period, Joshua to Malachi. God said to Joshua, Do not let this book of the law depart from your mouth. Meditate on it day and night, so that you may be careful to do everything written in it. The book of Joshua, chapter 1, verse 8. And Joshua recorded these words in the book of the law of God. Joshua chapter 24, verse 26.
Samuel explained to the people the regulations of the kingship. He wrote them down on a scroll and deposited it before the Lord. This is in 1 Samuel chapter 10, verse 25.
Toward the end of the era of kings, during the reign of Josiah the king, the Holy Scriptures brought about a revival when read by Shaphan the scribe at the command of Hilkiah the high priest. We read this in 2 Kings chapter 22, verse 8 through 13.
Isaiah the prophet called upon his people to go back to the Word of God and recite it, affirming its infallibility. He said, Look in the scroll of the Lord and read. None of these will be missing, not one will lack her mate. For it is his mouth that has given the order, and his spirit will gather them together. This is found in the book of Isaiah, chapter 34, verse 16.
The prophet Jeremiah was commanded by God to place on record his prophecies, saying, "Take a scroll and write on it all the words I have spoken to you concerning Israel, Judah, and all the other nations." We read this in Jeremiah chapter 36, verse 2.
The prophet Daniel testified to the Holy Scriptures in his prophetic book when he said, "I, Daniel, understood from the Scriptures, according to the word of the Lord, given to Jeremiah, the prophet, that the desolation of Jerusalem would last 70 years." This is in the book of Daniel, chapter 9, verse 2.
In the reign of Artaxerxes, the king of Persia, both Ezra and Nehemiah devoted themselves to the law of Moses, which the Lord God gave to him. The Bible says, "For Ezra had devoted himself to the study and observance of the law of the Lord." We read this in Ezra chapter 7, verse 10. In the book of Nehemiah, we read, "All the people assembled as one man in the square before the water gate." So Ezra brought the law before the assembly, which was made up of men and women and all who were able to understand. He read from it from daybreak till noon as he faced the square before the water gate. The book of Nehemiah, chapter 8, verses 1 to 3.
And the word of the Lord came again to Zechariah. This is what the Lord Almighty says: "Administer true justice, show mercy and compassion to one another. But they refuse to pay attention. Stubbornly they turned their backs and stopped up their ears. They made their hearts as hard as flint and would not listen to the law or to the words that the Lord Almighty had sent by His Spirit through the earlier prophets." This is in Zechariah chapter 7, verses 8 through 12.
Malachi spoke of the Bible, which he called a scroll of remembrance, in the following words: "Then those who feared the Lord talked with each other, and the Lord listened and heard." A scroll of remembrance was written in His presence concerning those who feared the Lord and honored His name. We find this in the book of Malachi, chapter 3, verse 16.
The foregoing make it obvious to us that the Lord God watched carefully over the development of His holy book throughout the generations, inspiring His holy men to write down their prophecies and teachings for the good of mankind. And such a living God, after inspiring His laws, would see to it that these laws are preserved in accordance with His will and promises.
The testimony of inspiration.
God's testimony to the permanence of His words. The Holy Bible contains a number of revelations and promises from God that His word will never pass away or be changed. Some of these are cited as follows:
"I will not take my love from him, nor will I ever betray my faithfulness. I will not violate my covenant or alter what my lips have uttered." The book of Psalms, chapter 89, verses 33 and 34.
"I tell you the truth, until heaven and earth pass away, not the smallest letter, nor the least stroke of a pen, will by any means disappear from the law until everything is accomplished." This is in the book of Matthew, chapter 5, verse 18.
"I tell you the truth, this generation will certainly not pass away until all these things have happened. Heaven and earth will pass away, but my words will never pass away." The book of Matthew, chapter 24, verses 34 and 35.
"The scripture cannot be broken." This is in the book of John, chapter 10, verse 35.
God's testimony to His prophets. God said to the prophet Jeremiah, "Do not be afraid of them. Now I have put my words in your mouth. The book of Jeremiah, chapter 1, verses 8 and 9.
He spoke to the prophet Hosea, saying, I spoke to the prophets, gave them many visions, and told parables through them. This is in the book of Hosea, chapter 12, verse 10.
He spoke to the prophet Isaiah, saying, As for me, this is my covenant with them, says the Lord. My spirit, who is on you, and my words that I have put in your mouth will not depart from your mouth, or from the mouths of your children, or from the mouths of their descendants from this time on and forever, says the Lord. The book of Isaiah, chapter 59, verse 21.
He spoke to the prophet Ezekiel as follows, Son of man, stand up on your feet, and I will speak with you. I am sending you to the Israelites, to a rebellious nation. Be not afraid of them or their words. Do not be afraid of what they say or terrified by them, though they are a rebellious house. Open your mouth and eat what I give you. This is found in Ezekiel, chapter 2, verses 1 through 8.
He spoke to the prophet Malachi, saying, And you will know that I have sent you this admonition so that my covenant with Levi may continue, says the Lord Almighty. My covenant was with him, a covenant of life and peace, and I gave them to him. This called for reverence, and he revered me and stood in awe of my name. True instruction was in his mouth, and nothing false was found on his lips. The book of Malachi, chapter 2, verse 4 through 6.
And he also spoke to the prophet, But did not my words and decrees, which I commanded my servants the prophets, overtake your forefathers? Then they repented and said, The Lord Almighty has done to us what our ways and practices deserve, just as he determined to do. This is found in the book of Zechariah, chapter 1, verse 6.
The testimony of the prophets and apostles.
God's prophets and apostles testified that God spoke to them and inspired them to write their prophecies and teachings to be an eternal law for mankind. We quote here some of their testimonies.
David said, The Spirit of the Lord spoke through me. His word was on my tongue. The book of 2 Samuel, chapter 23, verse 2.
Isaiah said, Surely the people are grass. The grass withers and the flowers fall, but the word of our God stands forever. Isaiah, chapter 40, verses 7 and 8.
Look in the scroll of the Lord and read. None of these will be missing. Not one will lack her mate. For it is his mouth that has given the order, and his spirit will gather them together. The book of Isaiah, chapter 34, verse 16.
Jeremiah said, The word of the Lord came to me. What do you see, Jeremiah? I see the branch of an almond tree. I replied, The Lord said to me, You have seen correctly, for I am watching to see that my word is fulfilled. This is in Jeremiah, chapter 1, verses 11 and 12.
Ezekiel said, At the end of 7 days, the word of the Lord came to me. Son of man, I have made you a watchman for the house of Israel. So hear the word I speak, and give them warning from me. Ezekiel chapter 3, verse 16 and 17.
The Lord Jesus told his disciples, For it is not you who speak, but the Spirit of your Father speaking through you. This is in Matthew chapter 10, verse 20.
The Apostle Paul said, We have not received the Spirit of the world, but the Spirit who is from God, that we may understand what God has freely given us. This is what we speak, not in words taught us by human wisdom, but in words taught by the Spirit, expressing spiritual truths in spiritual words. 1 Corinthians 2, verse 12 and 13.
The Apostle Peter said, "For you have been born again, not of perishable seed, but of imperishable, through the living and enduring word of God. For all men are like grass, and all their glory is like the flowers of the field. The grass withers, and the flowers fall, but the word of the Lord stands forever." This is in 1 Peter chapter 1, verses 23 through 25. No prophecy of Scripture came about by the prophet's own interpretation, for prophecy never had its origin in the will of man, but men spoke from God as they were moved by the Holy Spirit. This is in 2 Peter chapter 1, verses 20 and 21.
The testimony of tradition or apostolic succession.
History tells us that the religious scholars who were contemporaries of the apostles and those who succeeded them in ministering to the church quoted from the Bible, especially from the Gospels, in their sermons and works, because they were convinced that the books were divine and inspired by God, and therefore incorruptible. We mention some here.
Clement, Bishop of Rome, who worked with the Apostle Paul, as mentioned in the book of Philippians, chapter 4, verse 3.
Dionysius, Bishop of Corinth, who died in the year 100 A.D.
Hermas, a contemporary of Paul, who wrote a book in three volumes containing many quotations from the New Testament.
Ignatius, appointed Bishop of Antioch 37 years after Christ's ascension.
Polycarp, the martyr, disciple of the Apostle John and Bishop of Smyrna. He was martyred in the year 166 A.D. Only one of his writings survives, a letter full of citations from the four Gospels.
In addition to these, there are also church fathers of the 2nd century A.D. who quoted from the Bible to support their teachings. These include Papias, Bishop of the Church of Hierapolis in Phrygia, known as a gifted scholar about the year 110 A.D. He met Polycarp and wrote a commentary of six volumes on the Bible. He said that the Gospels in Greek were circulating in the churches, and testified that Mark, the writer of the Gospel, was a companion of Peter, and that his Gospel was in circulation among the Christians.
Justini, the martyr, born in 89 A.D., was a heathen philosopher before his conversion, but his search after the truth led him to Christianity. This celebrated thinker wrote many books in defense of Christianity and based his defense on the four Gospels. In one of his books, he mentions that he visited the churches in Rome, Alexandria, and Ephesus, and noted that the Christians worshipped by reading aloud from the Gospels in their churches.
Hegeius became prominent 30 years after Justini. His testimony has great importance. He has traveled from Palestine to Rome and met many bishops. He relates that he saw Christians in every place teaching one doctrine based on the law, the prophets, and the Lord Jesus Christ.
Irenaeus, of Greek origin from Asia Minor, was born in the year 140 A.D. He was a disciple of Polycarp, who in turn was a disciple of the Apostle John. The center of his work was in Lyon, where he was ordained bishop, succeeding Bonitas, who was martyred in 177 A.D. He wrote an epistle full of quotations from the Gospels. In one passage, he says, "We have not received salvation from any other source than from those who communicated the gospel to us, which they preached and later wrote by the will of God to be the foundation and pillar of our faith. For after Christ's resurrection from the dead, God endowed the apostles with the power of the Holy Spirit, and they came to know everything about the gospel fully well. They went to the ends of the then known world, carrying to mankind the good news of the grace of heavenly peace. Every one of them carried God's gospel.
Matthew wrote his gospel to the Jews when Paul and Peter were in Rome preaching the gospel of peace and founding the church there. After their departure, Mark, disciple and companion of Peter, wrote his gospel, which is the substance of Peter's preaching. Luke, the physician and companion of Paul, wrote his gospel in accordance with the teachings of Paul. After this, John, the disciple of Christ, who leaned upon Christ's breast, wrote his gospel while in Ephesus.
This eminent scholar added, "The teachings which the apostles handed down spread throughout the world. All who seek after the truth find that every church guards these teachings and considers them holy."
He also said, "It is possible for us to remember those whom the apostles appointed as leaders of these churches, and those who succeeded them up to the present day. And thanks to this uninterrupted chain of authority, we have received the narratives found in the church and the teachings of the truth as preached by the Gospels."
Clement, Bishop of Alexandria, lived 16 years after Irenaeus. He testified that all the churches believed in the four Gospels. This meticulous scholar cited the Gospels in his teachings and writings and said that the four Gospels were authentic.
Tertullian was born in 160 A.D. and died about 220 A.D. This scholar wrote of the apostles, "John and Matthew teach us faith. Luke and Mark, their companions, refresh and inspire us." After enumerating the churches which Paul founded in Corinth, Galatia, Ephesus, Philippi, and Thessalonica, and the churches which were founded by John, and the Church of Rome founded by Peter and Paul, he said, "The four Gospels have been used by the church from the beginning." He also said, "We Christians meet together to read the Holy Scriptures and nourish our faith, raise our hopes, and affirm our trust through the Holy Word."
It follows from the foregoing, first, that the leaders of Christianity, be they contemporaries of the apostles or successors, all distinguished scholars, were citing the sparkling texts of the Holy Scripture and quoting from them in their daily speech.
Their reliance on the Holy Scriptures and their quotations from them illustrate their conviction that they were the final authority in all controversial matters.
They were reading the Holy Scriptures in their public worship and explaining them.
They wrote commentaries on the Holy Scriptures in several volumes, affirming the harmony of the evangelists' records as inspired by the Holy Spirit.
And finally, all Christians since the beginning believed in the Holy Scriptures irrespective of their nationality or creed.
The Testimonies of Ancient Copies.
Among the treasures which the Christians preserve, there exist ancient manuscripts, the history of which dates back many generations before the advent of Islam. These include the following.
The Alexandrian Codex, named after the city in which it was written. It holds first rank among the three manuscripts. It was presented to King Charles I of England by Cyril Lucar, Patriarch of Constantinople, in the year 1628 A.D. Cyril had brought it with him from Alexandria, of which he had formerly been patriarch. It is written in Greek and contains all the books of the Bible, both the Old and New Testaments. On the first page, in the margin, A note indicates that the whole book was copied by the hand of a noble Egyptian lady named Takla about the year 325 A.D. Patriarch Cyril commented on this marginal note with his own hand that this date was correct in his opinion. The manuscript was written in plain standard writing on parchment, with each leaf divided into two columns, each column consisting of 50 lines. It is still on display in the British Museum in London.